the Haste, the official Obsidian Portal podcast, where we bring you the latest and greatest news from the tabletop RPG industry in less time than it takes you to set up for combat. I'm your host, Jerry.
And I'm Micah.
And tonight, before we jump into the topics, I'd just like to let everybody know that any voting has begun for the 2012 Annie Awards to be given out at Gen Con this year, and that we are both humbled and very excited to have been nominated this year, not only for Best Website, but also for Best Podcast. So we'll have a link in the show notes, and we're going to be talking about it during the show here, but if you would please take a minute, if you enjoy the podcast, if you use Obsidian Portal, to head on over and vote for us. Also, Gen Con stuff going on. We've got a seminar going on this year, just like we did last year, called How Technology is Changing RPGs. We're going to have some pretty cool guests. We've got Matt Morton from D20 Pro, Gary Teeter from Paizo, and we've also got somebody from Lone Wolf Development coming to talk about their software. And, of course, Micah will be there. It should be a very interesting and kind of collaborative discussion between everybody. We're going to be doing some Q&A, and we'll also be giving out the Excellence and Innovation Award, our first ever award for that, during that seminar. So stop on by. We'll put all the links in the show notes, and there's also a blog post about it too. But
and it's important to know that, like, one of the rules about this is that it's not going to be like a big product advertisement thing. It's not like we're going to get up there and advertise, you know, Obsidian Portal and our products and, you know, why we're the best or anything like that. It's not for that. It's more like these are people that are in the technology aspect of RPGs just talking about what they see in the future of RPGs.
Right.
Like, so yeah, it's not one big hour-long commercial.
No, not at all. So, yeah, if you're going to Gen Con, come on by and check it out. And if you guys aren't, we will be recording it and we'll be putting it up on the blog as well. So no matter what, you'll be able to take part. And tickets are free, right?
Yeah, it's free.
All right. Well, first topic of the night is obviously Gen Con is just around the corner. And the Ennies are just around the corner. And there's some changes and some talk about the Ennies that we wanted to talk about. And so Gen Con's less than a month away. We're talking, August 16th, right? Is that the first day?
Yeah, it's like August 16th through 19th, something like that.
Okay. So there are some changes for the Ennies coming next year. Next year, to nominate yourself, you won't have to send in the $5 nomination fee. So that's cool. You guys can also go and start voting for the judges for the Ennies for next year right now. And also, Ennies is voting right now up until Sunday, July 29th. There's a lot of big names in the Ennies this year. Lots of Paizo and lots of WotC in almost every category. I think Wizards has 9 nominations this year. I don't know, Mike, what have you got to say about the Ennies and Gen Con other than, hey, vote for us and everything else that we've been talking about already?
Well, I mean, I hope that you know, Paizo and WotC, they've got a lot of medals and awards already stacked away in the closet somewhere. So I hope that some of the other, you know, smaller publishers, that they get, you know, a little bit of the spotlight too. It's rough to be, you know, to go up against Paizo and WotC. Like, they're tough to beat.
Oh yeah.
They've got, you know, well organized marketing machines and, you know, thousands of rabid fans. So but I guess, as people have said before, and this is true, like the true honor is in the nomination itself. Like, just to be nominated that's the big deal.
Yeah.
Because, like, once you get to the fan voting, you know, it's tough sometimes to beat the big guys, but, you know, to have your name listed just on the list is a big deal. So congratulations to everybody. And again, we're humbled to be part of that list as well.
Yeah. And I think we want to do a few shout outs just on some cool stuff that we think is up in the Ennies, and by no way means are we super biased about this. These are just kind of friends of the podcast, people that we've either had on or really enjoyed their products or whatever. And Micah.
Yeah. And so, like, looking down the list, we saw these and we're like, oh yeah, I remember that. And oh, hey, cool. I'm glad these guys got nominated.
Yeah. So I think one of the ones we wanted to mention was Streets of Zobek. By Ben McFarlane. Ben was on one of the very first episodes of the show here, and he's up there for Best Adventure. We've also got Unhallowed Metropolis. They're up there for Best Setting. You guys remember we did that contest a while back with Unhallowed Met, where you picked a place in the fictional London and talked about why you'd want to visit it. It's a really cool setting. It's like, you know, steampunk meets zombies meets this kind of weird, dystopian, dark, horrific, alternate future / past. It's really cool. What are the other ones that you had up there, Micah?
We've also got Masks by Gnome Stew. That's the 1,000 completely you know, fleshed out NPCs that you can include in your game.
Right.
That one's up for best aid and accessory. And then there's the Complete Kobold Guide to Game Design by Kobold Quarterly. And you said you've started reading this.
Yeah. I've had it for a while, and I haven't gotten around to reading it. And I've been, kind of kicking around some ideas for a board game lately. So I thought, I might as well read this. And I'm only two chapters in, but man, is it cool to get inside, you know, these game designers' heads, like guys like Richard Garfield and stuff that, you know, he invented Magic the Gathering. It's a really good read, and it's very approachable. It's not very... what's the word I'm looking for? It's not very like collegiate in sense. It's very layman's, just kind of like talking to you like you would have a conversation with these guys. It's a really cool read.
So yeah, when you're looking over the Enter's voting ballot, take a special look at those guys. Streets of Zobek, Unhallowed Metropolis, Masks, and Complete Kobold Guide to Game Design.
Yeah. So what's our next topic, Micah? Other than the Enter's, what's next?
Topic number two, Dungeon Slayers. Version 4 has been released. And so Dungeon Slayers is a game by Christian Koenig, and it looks like it's based out of Germany, but the game itself is published in English. And it's focuses on dungeon crawls. It's all about, you know, kind of hack and slash dungeon crawls with monster killing as the core theme. They say that, you know, they don't really get into frou-frou character development or, you know, long-winded, egomaniacal monologues or anything like that. You know, you just sort of get in there and start hacking away and, you know, going room to room in the dungeon and pull out the graph paper and the paper and pencil and everything like that. So if that's what you're into, check out Dungeon Slayers because it's free.
Yeah.
It's a free, you know, completely free RPG. You just download the PDF, and they've got some additional PDFs with, you know, character sheet templates and things like that. So, you know, you can just go ahead and get started right away and, you know, be playing for free in, you know, very little amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, it also looks like they got a good community behind it. Like there's a Zombie Slayers mod for a modern kind of take on a, you know, post-apocalyptic zombie game. There's a bunch of like ready to go, ready to print one page, two page adventures on there too. So
that brings us to our third topic, which is kind of related to Dungeon Slayers, the free RPG. So tell us about our third topic, Jerry.
Our third topic is about the free product category at the Annie's, actually. So we're going to dovetail back into both topics here. And, you know, kind of through this discussion that I've had with people lately and with Micah, you know, the Annie's have a best free product category. But for some reason, there are no free RPGs in the free product category. Now, the nominees are, you've got Black Crusade, which is an adventure by Fantasy Flight for one of the Warhammer games. You got Dragon Age.
It's a Black Crusade adventure, I think.
Okay, I forgot.
Broken Chains
is their newest
for the non-free Black Crusade RPG.
Exactly. So that's basically how all these plan out. These are free products for games that aren't actually free. And, you know, some of them have even, like, I think one is a free RPG day adventure, Pathfinder module, We Be Goblins. I guess technically these things are free, but it kind of seems unfair to me. Maybe they should just call it, you know, best free product, and then we should make a best free RPG category or best free game, because you've got, you know, you've got stuff like Dungeon Slayers, and you've also got stuff like Heroes Against Darkness. And the author of Heroes Against Darkness actually made a Sour Grapes blog post not that long ago saying, hey, you know, I know that the Annie's are great and all, but this is kind of sour grapes for me, because you've got these people who make legitimately free games, like free to download, free to play. You know, oh, I want to try this game out. I'm going to print it off my printer, and me and my friends are going to play it right now. And there's nothing like that in this category. So, you know, I don't know. I think that all the big guys, like you've got Paizo and Green Ronin and Fantasy Flight, and they've already got their, you know, their spot to shine. I don't know, Michael, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I really have to agree with the, you know, the whole sour grapes aspect. I don't think it's an unfair statement to say that, you know, these are not free games. Like, they are free product. This is true. But it's not, you know, it's not the same as, you know, just giving away a completely free RPG, which to me seems like it would be more in the spirit of the category. Like, free product versus RPG, you know, I agree. We could have another category, you know, best free RPG. I would say just rename the category. Like, make it clear. Like, this is for best free RPG,
right,
which I think is a better category than best free product, because best free product has these products in it that, you know, yeah, they're free, but they're basically just advertisements. And so, you know, I don't know. Like, I have a lot of sympathy for the people, you know, because it's hard to write those blog posts, the Sour Grapes blog post, because you look like you're just a whiner, you're just complaining. But I think he's right. Like, I think he's got a legitimate complaint. So
right, right. I agree. I think that, you know, I think in the spirit of the NES that or the RPG industry as a whole is, you know, everybody's there to do their own thing and kind of carve out their own little niche, their own little corner of whatever it is they're doing. And I think that, you know, the Paizos and the Watsies, they've got enough awards and they've got enough medals that, you know, there should be time at the NES to let the little guy shine too. And, you know, last year it wasn't like this, or at least not as bad as this, but this year is legitimately they're all advertisements.
So yes, so we heartily support the idea that these should be, you know, completely free RPGs, you know, not just advertisements for, you know, non-free flagship products.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for topics. Micah, why don't you tell us about our tip, and then we'll jump into the question for the night.
So tonight's tip is when you're editing your wiki pages and you want to add an image or you want to, you know, style it up a little bit, you don't need a lot of fancy knowledge and, you know, fancy trickery in order to do it. Just as you're adding an image, there's some presets on the images for like centering it or moving it to the left or the right. Just play with those alignment dropdowns a little bit, and that can go a long ways to, you know, sprucing up a blog post if you've got, or like a wiki page. If you've just got a single image that you want to put in there, don't worry about needing to learn everything about, you know, alignment and, you know, style sheets and styling and all that stuff. Just play with it, you know, move left, move right, center, and move on. Like, you can spend like 30 seconds getting it and it'll look pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, what's our Twitter question?
All right, our Twitter question comes from shammond42, which I believe is Steve Hammond, and he says, as a game matures and players get more options, do you put restrictions on what they can be for balance or thematic reasons? Mike, I'll let you take this one first.
It doesn't happen as much in my game as it might, in that a lot of times I play these really long-running campaigns, and, you know, oftentimes we'll start with, you know, sort of the simplified version of things. You know, like we'll start with, you know, a cleric, a fighter, a rogue, and a wizard. And as the game goes on, we stick with those four. You know, it's a lot of, you know, character development and leveling from one to whatever. And it's the same in our Dark Heresy game. You know, there's been more and more books that have come out that have had alternate origins and alternate classes, you know, so to speak, careers, I guess. And we have our characters that we've stuck with throughout that whole time. And we you know, we don't really, you know, bring in the new stuff. So from that perspective, it is, you know, not as much of an issue. But when I've been in those games, when I've DM'd those games where that kind of thing does happen and somebody comes to the table with like a third party product, like I do put restrictions on it. And I tell people, you know, I tell the players, like, all right, you know, these, you know, the core rule books, you know, these three books, stuff in here is allowed. If you want stuff from other books, you're gonna have to bring it and I'm gonna take a look at it. And usually I allow it, but as time goes on, I try to be more and more restrictive on it just because I don't know all the new rules and I don't really care to know them. And then I've found, you know, players are much smarter than I am about combining this rule and that rule and all these other things. And it suddenly just destroys, you know, it destroys the balance for me. Like I've seen games, you know, balance wise just get way out of whack because you add, you know, two, you know, third party books that are, you know, not part of the core rule book that were never meant to go together. As far as the thematic aspect, yeah, I mean, that happens too. But for me, at least, that's more of like something that you do at the start of a campaign. Like, if you're like, you know, this is going to be a grim and dark, you know, campaign set in, you know, this horrible world, and someone's like, you know, I want to play a talking unicorn. No.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. So, what about you, Jerry?
You know, I'm in the same boat as far as I think that being a GM is complicated enough. I think there's enough bookkeeping involved that once you have your once you've got things going initially, you got your players and your setting and all that stuff, it's probably best not to tamper with it. I find myself as a DM when new supplements come out, if it's something that I'm particularly fond of, like the Heroes of Shadow book came out, I'm really fond of horror and vampires and stuff. I found myself trying to find ways to like wedge those elements into my existing campaign, which is, you know, for better or worse, it's all debatable. But I think players don't really care unless it's something that they really want. And then in that case, I do what you do. And I say, well, you know, let me take a look at it. Let me see if it's okay. And not just third party stuff, like even, you know, just actual published supplements, because it gets to be so much to keep track of. And, you know, unless somebody's really kind of growing bored with their character, things are becoming stale, then I try and avoid incorporating every known thing ever, right? Because there's so much of it. I mean, there's such a plethora of stuff out there available for every game almost that it's you could bury yourself trying to keep track of it all. So for thematic reasons too, also like you said with the unicorns and stuff, it's one thing to have a game and then have a player say, well, I want to do this now, and kind of deviate off of the path that you've already got set up. And it's kind of like, okay, like you want to make your players happy, but at the same time, you don't want to derail everything that you've kind of worked for. So I guess I'm in the same boat as I'm more restrictive than liberal when it comes to those things.
And again, I think that's important to set up from the beginning, like an expectation of what the game is going to be. Because if you set that expectation from the beginning, it's unlikely that your players are going to come in with things that are, you know, completely outside the thematic element. And I mean, the unicorn example is kind of extreme, but it's, you know, a more practical one is when someone says, hey, I want to take this prestige class that involves guns, you know, I want to, you know, and you're just like, well, thematically, guns don't exist in this world. So, you know, and I think if you've set that expectation from the beginning, and you don't necessarily have to say it at the beginning, like, you don't have to, like, enumerate exactly everything that does and doesn't exist and what themes will be allowed and that kind of thing. But if you just sort of, you know, I think you can lean on that and say, you know what, I'm not going to allow this because you've never seen a gun this whole time. Like,
right.
You've never met anyone that's talked about guns. So I'm just going to say that guns don't exist. You know, and if the player throws a fit, you've at least got, you know, some evidence to back you up. You can say, you know, you're not just being, you know, doing this on a whim. You can say, listen, there's thematic backing to this. So
right.
That's what I mean by setting the expectation, is that, you know, be willing to, you know, let, you know, hopefully your players trust you, and then be willing to, you know, stand your ground on these things that do break the theme of what you're trying to say, you know, the story that you're trying to tell.
Yeah.
Well, I think we beat that into the ground.
Yep. As usual, I don't know if we answered your question, but we talked about it. So I hope that we helped you in some capacity. So that sums it up for this week. Thanks for listening, guys. And please be sure to hop over to the Annie's voting booth and cast your ballots. And we will talk to you next week, which we will be 1 or 2 weeks away from Gen Con at that point. So getting close. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks a lot. Don't you want pancakes?